Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the war on black boys. Have African-American boys been misdiagnosed as ADHD and prescribed medication to treat it? Is the diagnosis simply a method of perpetuating profit and or conducting experiments on mind control? Is it an attempt to control and or break the will or spirit of the black child? Dr. Umar Johnson, school psychologist and doctor of clinical psychology, made a statement concerning this issue. Is Dr. Umar Johnson the only one concerned about misdiagnosing, labeling children, and prescribing them a dangerous drug to control their behavior? From News One, ADHD wars against black boys. Dr. Umar Johnson details how to combat diagnosis of the learning disorder. He said, why are we medicating so many young African-American males for ADHD, right? So, a recent study showed that there are a 70% increase in ADHD identification for black children. Black boys are diagnosed with their disorder at a higher rate than any group of students in the United States. And remember that, keep that in mind, in the United States, right? Educator and school psychologist Mr. Johnson says one way that schools deal with perceived bad behavior, right, is to diagnose and medicate students for ADHD. That's convenient. If you find a pill to fix anything, I get the rationale there, but that's a very dangerous thing to do, right? Anyway, I think he was on the Roland Martin show, right? He talked about talking about some of this this issue, right? He also said the American education system's use of ADHD and behavioral disorders that stigmatize African American youth. That means that they're targeting the African American youth, and it's a lot of targeting of the African American people in the United States. A lot of people alleging that they are being targeted, and here we are again. Having another discussion about people targeting African Americans. ADHD is a diagnosis that came to us in 1980, right? It was called ADD, right? In 1987, they put the H for hyperactivity was added, right? When it became ADHD, it opened up the vacuum, the door, right? That allow for nearly every child to be diagnosed to prescribe medication, right? For them, right? Because previously it was attention deficit disorder, right? So once they added the word hyper, it opened up the opportunity for medication. I guess you can't medicate. They don't perceive that you can medicate something to make a kid pay attention, I guess. And on the show, Roland Martin said most children at 7 or 8 years of age are a little hyper. And Mr. Johnson agreed with that, right? Dr. Johnson, Umar, right? So he said, underlining the issues associated with the practice of identifying and diagnosing African-American boys with ADHD, 99% of the public school teachers, charter independent school teachers, are female. So you have to look at the female culture of the schoolhouse and how when boys cannot adjust adequately to female expectations, they are marginalized. He said, when you look at the criteria for ADHD, losing things necessary to get your work done, woo, I guess I got ADHD. Not being able to pay attention, blurting out answers, having excessive energy. So I guess writing out answers, I don't really get that. I don't get that. That's it's trying to be heard. I get that, how that's a problem. Writing out, you know, anyway, it's, at least you got a kid that's participating in class there. Anyway, it said that's normal male childhood behavior. But when you come to school, you're expected not to engage in traditional male types of behavior, right? If you do, you are stigmatized, right? It said, and then in comes the drug companies, right? And two of the companies mentioned or that I looked at were two of the usual suspects that make a Ritalin, Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. I'm just throwing that in there because one of those things that make you go, In comes the drug company manufacturers of the popular anti-stimulant medicines who pay for a lot of the teachers' conferences. It's connecting the dots here, right? If they're fueling the diagnosis, they also fund significantly the American Psychological and American Psychiatric Association. So they say drug companies have a financial connection to these people. But you know, money moves. What's that song? Cash moves everything around me. Get the money, dollar, dollar bill, y'all. Well, cash moves a lot of stuff in this country, in a capitalist country especially. Cash is going to move a whole lot of things, good or bad, right or wrong, cash will move it, right? We'll make it happen. So far, I don't see anything far-fetched in Mr. Johnson's analogy, a theory. It's not even a theory or observation, right? So Mr. Johnson said the best way to combat misdiagnosis of ADHD is through education. Parents need to know that in the school, we do not diagnose ADHD. That's why your teacher can't say your kid got ADHD because he ain't paying attention, because he's throwing them on airplanes in the classroom, talking to his homies in the back of the class, right? Anyway, Johnson is a clinical doctor and school psychologist explaining ADHD is not a special education disability. That's very important right there. So you don't diagnose ADHD in school. So when many boys are being put in special ed for ADHD, because one of the special ed classifications is known as other health impairment. I call that a trap door. You create a way to make something happen. So if you can't diagnose ADHD in school, you create a trap door because you had the power to do that. Because me and you, common folk, you had the power to create nothing. All right? But people that have the power can do such things, other health impairment, right? Because psychiatry is a branch of medicine. If you can diagnose by the doctor with ADHD, if the parent brings the paperwork to school, they can now special educate you. They can give you that special education, right? So what is that, right? It means you're going to get something to fit you. That's what it's supposed to be. That's the short story, right? Special for you. Special means pertaining to fit you. You will get an education that's tailor-made for your particular situation, right? So Johnson believes that ADHD is not a learning disability. Question a second time, why black boys are being put in special education environments, saying that 85% of the time, the evaluating psychologist never observes a child in the environment where the complaints are being made. Some stuff people say, you just hope that it's not true, but I mean, this guy been working in it, over 30 years, been in doing this thing. Maybe not 30 years, 20, maybe 20 years. I don't know. He's been around a long time. I've seen him when he was a much younger guy saying the same thing. Johnson, is it parents need to be reminded that teachers who are attempting to label a child as suffering with ADHD, that their degree, certification, expertise is in teaching, right? Not mental health diagnosis, okay? Teachers can't tell you your kid got ADHD. Mm-hmm. So it's illegal for teachers to tell parents the child have ADHD, right? They can recommend that parent look into something, the problem, right? Johnson also said, because a lot of our boys grow up without their father at home, that masculine energy, which normally provides the boundary setting the consequences is taken out. 85% of the boys diagnosed with ADHD don't have their father in their life, he said. That's why he named ADHD, though, Ain't No Daddy at Home Disorder, right? I know a lot of people probably heard that before, right? He said it's not about mental health. It's about the breakdown of the black family that leaves the mother there with the responsibility of turning a boy into a man. So Omar Johnson said you can't prove conduct disorder, learning disability, ADHD, ODD, mild mental retardation, emotional disturbance, reading, math disability are concepts that medication is prescribed for. Parents charged with medical neglect if they don't give the child medication for these disorders. Agencies like the Child Protective Services and things like that come in and threaten to remove children from the homes. The parent doesn't give medication. It's called medical neglect, right? Hey, your child is sick, right? This is the medicine that was prescribed for your child, and blah, 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 right? Black parents subjugate their authority to white authority to teach and tell children he has a disorder instead of questioning the labeler, that are, you know, questioning them. So I know we all like to think that the people who are professionals and whoever they may be, I mean, even in medicine, you get a second opinion, right? Cancer, you might go somewhere and get a second opinion. Somebody want to do so, or even a particular type of operation, you might get a second opinion. So why not with this? So, and it's no harm in questioning, as the brother's saying. Question why and what, but first you need to read up on what you're questioning before you start asking questions. You need to read up on it, bone up on that, find out what's going on. If you can't understand what you're reading, get somebody to explain it to you. All right? Bone up on your reading skills, too, while you're at it. Right? So, anyway, all of that right there was enough for me to begin exploring this topic. Umar Johnson has been saying this for decades. You would think or hope that Mr. Umar Johnson's assessment is unfounded, that the mental health agencies, government agencies, corporations, child welfare organizations, educational establishment, right, would never use dangerous medication to control children, one of our most vulnerable populations, and to target black males is simply diabolical. I'm just trying to figure out how come black man is getting targeted. Why do people feel the need to target black folks? The dangers are written in, right, from TLDM.org. This is a guy by the name of Peter Bregin, Bregin, one of the foremost experts on the dangers of prescription drugs. So I say he qualifies a person to share some information about ADHD, Ritalin, and things like that, right? This article is called The Dangers of Ritalin by our expert, right? Right? So... Basically, he says the criteria for which are for he said, what are the criteria for such diagnosis? This is a shocker, according to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorder, fourth edition, the DSM-5, right? I thought it was up to five. Considered the Bible of psychiatric diagnosis. The entire criteria for making a diagnosis of oppositional defiant order is the following, right? Pattern negative, hostile, defiant behavior lasting at least 6 months, doing for which four or more of the following are present. Often loses temper, often argues with adults, often actively defies or refuses to comply with adult requests for rules. Often deliberately annoying people, often blames others for his mistakes, is often touchy, easily annoyed by others, often angry, disrespectful, so forth like that. Anybody calling, I want you to remember that I'm on the air. Press number one if you want to speak with me or text me through my phone. No physical cause is described, but only behavioral conflict and anger. Dr. Bregan says, note that the above diagnosis is merely 8 ways to say a child is angry. So I guess you need to find out why this joker is angry, right? Anyway, he goes on to talk about the sedating effect of Ritalin, right? Ritalin is synonymous, with treatment for ADHD, right? I think that's the one drug that I personally associate with ADHD. I don't know what else they use it for. But he said the drugging of children to control their behavior is viewed as a medical activity, but it has little or nothing to do with the genuine practice of medicine. He also warns that Ritalin is being used to medicate children into submission. This observation is similar to that made in the book, Not in Our Genes, right? G-E-N-E-S. Y'all might want to check that out. Which reported that the use of Ritalin, right? Higher doses simply result in sedation. It's the higher doses that tend to be employed, right? They said it's like a chemical straitjacket, ensuring that the teacher has an easier task in maintaining classroom order, but only by doping out the children who would otherwise make it harder. He also accuses the school system of waging a war on children. So that kind of supports what Umar is saying, right? Schools are selectively suppressing some of the most intelligent, brave, energetic, and creative children. He writes, the war against children going on in our schools. He said, there's a war against children going on in our schools. And the most outstanding of our children are the first to be targeted for control by drugs. We're using drugs the way gardeners use herbicides to destroy weeds. Schools are not the only institutions that encourage the drugging of children. Controlling children with psychiatric medication is rampant in foster homes and in many institutional settings such as the juvenile detention centers, prisons, where docility is valued. They only calm you down, like the calm you down pill, right? He also accuses indiscriminate use of dangerous drugs on children as a form of technological child abuse, right? He said many of his colleagues could do something about it, but they won't or have not. That sounds like something we got going on now with another so-called medical treatment. The psychiatric diagnosis and drugging of children should be viewed as a form of technological child abuse conformity enforced by physical suppression of the brain. What does that mean? Whoa. Because that sounds Frankensteinish. He said, he holds his colleagues responsible for the national catastrophe, especially those mental health professionals who enjoy leadership roles in professional associations, universities, government agencies, and industries. That's starting to sound very familiar. These people rather keep their jobs than go against the tide, right? That's what it sounds like. He said he called upon them to find the courage to stand up on behalf of children. Good luck with that. Ritalin is a dangerous drug, he says, but there is no evidence that Ritalin has any beneficial long-term effects, he said. With a study done by R. Weiss and his scientific colleagues, hyperactive children who had been treated with Ritalin for up to 5 years and compared them to similarly hyperactive children who had not had the drug treatment, right? They fully expected to see a beneficial drug effect. They were looking for, you know, what they thought should be there, right? But they reported no difference in adolescence between the drugged and the undrugged children in school marks, number of grades failed, an amount of hyperactivity or in antisocial behavior. The problems of organically hyperactive children seem to linger on, whether or not they have been drugged. Ritalin has been touted as a safe, non-addictive drug. Unfortunately, both claims are false. I'm going to repeat that again. Ritalin, he says, has been touted as a safe, non-addictive drug. Unfortunately, both claims are false. He points out that it is not a speculation, but a fact demonstrated in thousands of laboratory studies in normal animals. All psychiatric drugs produce severe biochemical imbalances and related abnormalities by interfering with the normal brain functions. Let me say one more time. All psychiatric drugs produce severe biochemical imbalances and related abnormalities by interfering with the normal brain function. Right? He also writes that Ritalin and other stimulants, right, do not normalize the brain. They render it abnormal. He said stimulants produce pathological malfunctions in the child's brain. Whenever these drugs have any direct effect on the child's mind or behavior, they do so by disrupting brain function. In short, effective doses of Ritalin always cause malfunctions in the brain. All right? So how do you treat? You treating a perceived of disease or a malfunction by causing another malfunction. That's what that sounds like to me. This drug-induced disruption is the robotic effect sometimes observed in children taking Ritalin. Seen that, right? Right. It says the erroneous claim that Ritalin is not addictive. It should be noted that under the Controlled Substance Act, right? Under the Controlled Substance Act, the FDA, Food and Drug Association, right, classifies Ritalin as a Schedule 2, the most drug, right, the most addictive class of drugs in medical use, all right? So the claim that Ritalin is not addictive, right? FDA classifies Ritalin in Schedule 2, the most addictive class of drugs in medical use, the most addictive class of drugs in medical use. I'm repeating it because this is what we're giving to our kids. This is some people signing off for. It shares Schedule 2 with other stimulants, dexedrine and that white girl, cocaine, right? And with narcotics, morphine. All right? So that's what it's under the same roof with. So said the FDA. That's not Umar. That's not this guy. That's what he's saying the FDA classifies it as, right? You know, the FDA is supposed to make sure that things are safe for us. That's another show. I think I already did that show. Anyway, International Narcotics Control Board in 1996 declared methylphenidate, Ritalin, right? Pharmaceutical effects are essentially, right? Ritalin's pharmaceutical effects are essentially the same as those of amphetamine and methamphetamines, right? Anybody who like getting high, up highs, I guess you'd be rushing to get you some Ritalin. And the abuse of methylphenidate can lead to tolerance and severe psychological dependence. Psychotic episodes, violent and bizarre behavior have been reported. Furthermore, the International Narcotics Control Board reported that in 1996, emergency room visits by children aged 10 to 14 involving Ritalin intoxication have now reached the same level as those for that white girl, cocaine, all right? This indicates escalating abuse of this highly addictive drug. So whoever says it's not addictive, they must have not have been privy to this information. And if before you make a decision to give your child a drug, any drug, well, you need to do some reading. Read about whatever they're diagnosing. The child asks, who's making the diagnosis, especially in this case? Anyway, it's a little known fact is that drug addicts are frequently using Ritalin. Why not? The illicit traffic in Ritalin has increased among narcotic addicts, right? Those on methadone appreciate the up effect of Ritalin. Those on heroin can prolong the duration of action of a given dose of heroin. Woo! And we give it to our kids. In Cook County Prison, Ritalin is called West Coast by the heroin addict. I don't know what that means, West Coast. Other physical effects of Ritalin include brain shrinkage. Other physical effects of Ritalin use include brain shrinkage. Now, who's trying to, why would you want to shrink the brains of our kids? Somebody help me out with this picture because I'm not really feeling it. Somebody wants to shrink the brains of our children. That's short of cutting their heads off. Anyway, brain shrinkers. Can you imagine that? And if you're targeting black boys, disproportionately, someone is targeting, wants to shrink the brains, right? The minds, right? Of these black boys. A team led by Henry A. Nasrallah in 1986 from Ohio State found shrinkage of the brain more than 50% of 24 young adults with hyperactivity since childhood. Shrinkage, or the more technical term, atrophy. You know, atrophy, that's when you don't use something, it shrivels up. So, wow, it's causing a disconnect in the brain. But you're not using it, so it shrivels up. So indicates the brain tissue has become withered and reduced in volume. Now, this is not a red flag. It sounds like a red flag to me, but how come these guys are the only guys red flagging this thing? Well, I can't say they're the only guys, because I'm sure there's some other guys, Umar. I found another guy, a couple other people who are saying it besides Umar. Umar is specifically saying they are targeting black males, and he's not the only person saying that either. So for people who just want to know, do your own research though. Ritalin has also been proven to affect growth in children. They're just trying to cut the tree down. Before the tree even gets rooted, they're trying to cut it down. And that's what you do. You need to kill the seed. You can't kill the seed. Kill the small tree. And that's what they're trying to do now. They're just trying to just, look at it. Cut the growth down. Shrink the brain. What is going on here? Dozens of studies have demonstrated that Ritalin disrupts the normal cycle of growth hormone production in the body. What? By the mid-70s, the effect of Ritalin is disrupting growth hormone levels in most subjects was already unequivocal, right? It was a fact. You know, it's like, yeah, without a doubt, right? The adverse effect on growth hormone is so regular and predictable that it can be used as a measure of whether or not the Ritalin is active in a child's body. So it's not only something that happens. It's something that they use as a measurement of activity of the villain in the body of the host. And additionally, villain can affect future career choices of children. Check this out. You can't make this stuff up. The Department of Defense has an official policy of turning away all recruits who have taken Ritalin or other similar drugs after the age of 12. I think Marvin Gaye said it. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? This is crazy. This is not like Dr. Reagan warning about Ritalin are not based merely on compromised career choices. He considers Ritalin a toxic agent that should be illegal. This is this guy, Dr. Bregin, Bregin, right? Considers Ritalin a toxic, poisonous agent. Toxic, poisonous agent. Cause death, right? That's what toxic means, right? Poison. Anything that causes death, right? A toxic agent that should be illegal. I believe it is abusive, and I think it should be illegal. Harms the brain of the child and undermines any hope of a peaceful, loving resolution of the conflicts the child is having with other people. Now, that's sad. These are professional people, and I'm sure they find other professionals who will say, hey, this villain is good, it's worked, it's safe, it works, and it helps these children lead normal lives. I'm sure some parents will say, hey, my kids did better since they've been taking this villain. They off that pill, off that medication, I can't control them. They can't control themselves. So what is ADHD, right? Umar says there ain't no daddy at home, right, of disorder. Okay, the American Psychiatric Association, right, the APA. Y'all probably heard of that, right? Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is one of the most common mental disorders affecting children. ADHD also affects many adults. Symptoms of ADHD include inattention, not being able to keep focus, hyperactivity, excess movement that is not fitting to the setting. So I guess that means you moving around too much. And impulsivity, hasty acts that occur in the moment without thought. You just do something. Wham! You know, so I don't know. What could that be? You just slap somebody in the head? I mean, what's that? Throwing airplanes in the classroom? Throwing a ball of paper at the teacher? What's that? What are they talking about? Impulsivity. Hasty acts that occur in the moment without thought. Because I know we used to do a lot of stuff like that, and we thought it was funny. Anyway. An estimated 8.4% of children and 2.5% of adults have ADHD. ADHD is often first identified in school-age children when it leads to disruption in the classroom or problems with schoolwork. It is more common among boys than girls. Just to speak to a thing about the male presence in the I know I used the seventh grade when I was in seventh. Me and my friend. His name was Porky. We were just having fun. We was just off the chain in seventh grade. And I know the teachers looked down the hallway, pointed his finger at me, said he'd want me in his class next year. Because I was just off the chain. He said, you don't come from that. So the eighth grade year, I was in his class. But when he used to look down the hallway, I was throwing stuff around the classroom. We punching on people. Some people not supposed to put your hands on. We was hitting them. And it was all fun. Fun. And he used to point his finger at me, see me coming out home. I'm going to make sure you're in my classroom next year. So he put me in his classroom the next year. He didn't have one problem out of me. I ain't throw nothing. I didn't, nothing was he funny. I wasn't doing none of that he funny stuff in his classroom. I was just in there, you know, learning. Somebody might have thought I had ADHD in the seventh grade because I wasn't paying attention. It was a white, young white teacher in the classroom. Unfortunately, I heard we weren't the only ones giving her hiccups and problems. She had a nervous breakdown. And she left the school. She didn't stay. But you know, that's sorry that happened to her. It's unfortunate. But I wasn't doing it to. I'm sure nobody was doing anything to her in particular. It was just having fun. We were wrong. We knew we were wrong. We knew we was all out of pocket, but we could get away with it. She wasn't calling about it. Did it? Do nothing about it. And we wasn't listening to her. So anyway, symptoms and diagnosis. Many ADHD symptoms, such as high activity level, difficulty remaining still for long periods of time, and limited attention spans, right, are common in young children in general. Let's say the difference between in children and ADHD, the difference in children with ADHD is that their hyperactivity and inattention are noticeably greater than expected for their age and cause distress and or problems functioning at home, at school, or with friends. Yes, I'm definitely not ADHD because if my dad is around, I'm not acting no kind of way. Well, even though I did get a lot of trouble, though, but I'm not ADHD. I'm just hard-headed. Anyway, ADHD is diagnosed as one of three types of inattentive type, hyperactivity, impulsive type, or combined type. I guess combined means both of the, both of them. A diagnosis based on the symptoms that have occurred over the past 6 months. So if you got this going on for 6 months, you can't stay in your seat. So what if you do that for 5.5 months? You don't have it. 4 months, you're just off the chain for 4 months. You don't have ADHD. That's interesting. Anyway, inattentive type, 6 or 5 for people over 17 years of age of the following symptoms, 6 or 5 of these. Don't pay close attention to details, make mistakes in school or job tasks, has problems staying focused, does not seem to listen when spoken to, does not follow through with instruction and does not complete schoolwork, chores, job duties, has problems organizing tasks at work, avoids or dislike tasks that require sustained mental effort, such as preparing for reports, often loses things needed for tasks for daily life, such as school papers, books, keys, wallet, cell phone, eyeglasses, is easily distracted, forgets daily tasks, such as doing chores and running errands. Older teens and adults may forget to return phone calls, pay bills, and keep appointments. Wow. That seems like pretty normal stuff to me, but who am I? I'm the guy on a radio show, right? Then they say the hyper active impulsive type, 6 or 5 for people over 17 of the following symptoms. Fidget, not able to stay seated, runs around, runs about or climbs where it's inappropriate, unable to play or do leisure activities quietly, always play. Who plays quietly? What kind of play is that? Mime? What they doing, miming or something? Like, how do you play quietly? That doesn't even make sense to me. They need to revamp some of this stuff. Anyway, always on the go as it's driven by a motor. Well, I hope so, because your heart is pumping. You should be able to move around. Talks too much. Sheesh. So all our leaders, they talk a lot. So the ADHD blurts out answers, has difficulty waiting for his or her turn, such as while waiting in line, interrupts or intrudes on others. Man, I don't know. This seems like something. I don't know. Anyway. There you go right there. That's what they're talking about. I got a lot of things I'm going to get to, which I know I'm not going to be able to get to. I don't have enough time tonight. Scientists have not identified specific causes of ADHD, he said, right? There is evidence that genetics contribute to ADHD. For example, 3 out of 4 children with ADHD have a relative with a disorder. Other factors that may contribute to the development of ADHD include being born prematurely, brain injury, and the mother smoking, using alcohol, or having extreme stress during pregnancy.
Woo!
Treatment, behavior therapy, or medication. Right? We talked about that, right? They say, therapy for children consists of teaching parents and teachers how to provide positive feedback for desired behaviors and consequences for negative ones, right? Psychotherapy and from behavioral strategies that improve structure and organization for adults with ADHD, right? Medication, 2 types of medication, stimulants and non-stimulants they give you, right? Stimulant medications are automoxetine and gonfacine have also been shown to be effective in treating ADHD symptoms. Now, I just, Mr. Briggins said that this medicine is harmful. This is a different report. Some children experience dramatic relief of symptoms, right? And this release continues with ongoing treatment, right? Other children may experience only partial relief, or the medication may seem to stop working. A change in medication or adjustment in dose may improve the response. Other children and families may benefit from additional therapy specific to problem behaviors. Adults report that medication helps them gain more control and organization in their life. Parenting, right? Children who have ADHD tend to benefit from structure, routines, and clear expectations, right? Make clear schedules, maintain routines, make sure instructions are understood, right? Use words that, simple words, right? They understand what you're saying, basically. Focus on your child when talking to them. Supervise, right? Maintain communication with the child's teacher. Model calm behavior. Focus on effort and reward good behavior. Now, a lot of this stuff sounds like normal stuff to me. You know, all children benefit from structure, routines, and clear expectations. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say everybody benefits from structure, routines, and clear expectations, right? If the environment is not structured, or the structure has been negated by student behavior or culture, the behavior of the non-conforming, rebellious student can influence the behavior of other students. If you can medically control children, you can medically control adults, thus medically controlling the society when and if necessary. Validating and normalizing controlling behavior by medical intervention is evil genius. Is that what we're witnessing? Anyway. The article goes on to say ADHD and school-age child teachers, staff can provide parents and doctors with information. You can get information. Students whose ADD impairs their learning may qualify for special education under Individuals with Disabilities Act or a Section 504 plan. For children who do not require special education under the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. Children with ADHD can benefit from study skills instruction, changes to the classroom setup, alternative teaching techniques, and modified curriculum. Now you get extra time to read, things like that, alternative teaching techniques. You might, where everybody else is reading, somebody might read it to the child. You know what I'm saying? Changes in the classroom setup. You know, you might do class with the child in a particular type of classroom setting, right? Benefit from study skills instruction. That's a one-on-one person to help you in the classroom you need. It will help, you know. Anyway, adults with ADHD are treated with medication, psychotherapy, or a combination. Both behavior management strategies, such as ways to minimize distractions and increase structure and organization, right? So, I'm not a scientist or a mental health professional, but aren't there foods that cause hyperactivity?
What if the children are sick because their environment is sick? For family health, foods that cause hyperactivity in children. They said food additives, pesticides on fruits and vegetables, and food with added sugar, right? Hyperactive children have problems paying attention, right? So they said food additives, right? Many processed foods contain additives such as preservatives, flavors, and coloring. Yellow number 5, 6, and 10. Excuse me. Yellow number 5, 6, and 10. I think yellow number 5 and 6 are carcinogens. Anyway, yellow number 5, 6, and 10 and preservatives such as benzoate may cause or exacerbate hyperactive behavior in some children, right? Many processed foods contain additives such as preservatives, flavors, and colors. 5, 6, and 10 and preservatives such as benzoate may cause. I just read that. Okay. From on WebMD, British researchers found removing food additives from the diet of a group of 3-year-olds caused a reduction in the children's hyperactive behavior reported by their parents. And when their food colorants and preservatives were added back into the children's diet, the parents reported an increase. Pesticides and fruits and vegetables, it said, to reduce the risk of chronic diseases, including type 2 diabetes, stroke, heart disease, and cancer, right? They advise that you have 1 to 2 cups variety of fruits and 1 to 2 cups variety of vegetables a day. Exposure to chemicals and pesticides cause organophosphates may cause hyperactivity in children. Organophosphates are especially high in fruits and vegetables such as strawberries, blueberries, and celery. I like blueberries and celery myself. According to the Safety News in 2010, research by Maurice Bouchard, PhD, published in Pediatrics in 2010, found that children who have higher urinary concentrations of organophosphates are more likely to be diagnosed with hyperactivity. They are twice as likely to be hyperactive compared to children who have undetectable levels. All right. Most interesting. Research by Chin-Sing Liu, PhD, published in Environmental Health Perspective in 2008, demonstrates children who switch from a diet of organophosphate contaminated fruits to vegetables to a diet of organic fruits, right? It's not no pesticides, right? Organic fruits or fruits and vegetables without any pesticides for 5 consecutive days. For 5 consecutive days have non-detectable or close to non-detectable levels of organophosphate pesticides in their urine. This research supports evidence that dietary intake of organophosphate pesticides is a major source of exposure in young children and a cause for hyperactivity, right? From Psychology Today, recently, a study published in the journal Pediatrics found a possible correlation between pesticides and ADHD. Out of the 1,139 children in the study, ADHD and non-ADHD, 94% were found to have some levels of organophosphate pesticide compound in their urine. Children with the above average level of the compound, 20% had ADHD. The rate of ADHD was 10% in children who had no level of the compound, right? This study has caused some concern among parents and others in the ADHD community. However, before you start buying 100% organic everything, we need to take a closer look at the study. Families with ADHD tend to have lower income. They cannot afford to buy untreated or organic foods. But again, we are not aware of what foods were consumed by the children. That's all I'm going to say to that. Make your own, come to your own conclusion about that. Foods with sugar added. Sucrose, high fructose corn syrup, and artificial sugars are commonly used in many processed foods and foods and may cause hyperactivity in children. Many parents of children diagnosed with ADHD claim that hyperactive behaviors follows consumption of foods with sugars or artificial sweeteners. Yet, many researchers say that association between sugar and hyperactivity is weak. That's a lot of money being lost if you start taking people off of sugar. You got to follow the money trail, y'all, I'm telling you. Just imagine if we stopped using sugar. Well, even if we stopped using it a lot, everybody, that would cause a, man, that probably would cause a lot of people to lose their jobs, too. So, researchers say no association, right? Even though they did the correlation here, right? From health, energy surges, then bottoms out, right? Refined carbs like those in white bread, pastas, quickly cause a rise in glucose in the bloodstream. It's just carbs, right, which break down into sugar, right? So you might feel extra energized for a while. We call that extra energy, so you might, that, right? But this short-term fix actually leave you more sluggish later on when you crash. I sound like sugars, like cocaine, right? They suggest you get protein-rich snacks and stuff like that, right? Atkins, sugar causes glucose levels to spike and plummet, right? Unstable blood sugar can leave you experiencing mood swings, fatigue, and headaches. Those who avoid sugar report having fewer cravings while feeling more emotionally balanced and energized. What a distraction, being fatigued or tired, moody, and hungry. Eight sugar facts. Number eight, sugar affects cognition of children, right? When the New York City public school reduced the amount of sugar in their lunches and breakfast, the academic ranking increased 15.7%. Previously, the greatest improvement ever seen had been 1.7%. The study also eliminated artificial colors, synthetic flavoring, and two preservatives, showing the importance of natural ingredients for children. Sounds like those things do affect concentration, right? Sugar increases stress. When you're under stress, our bodies immediately kick into fight or flight mode, releasing large amounts of hormones. Surprisingly, the body has the same chemical response when blood sugar is low. After you eat a sweet snack, stress hormones begin to compensate for the crash by raising your blood sugar. The result, unexplained anxiousness, irritability, and even shakiness. Woo! Man, that's interesting. Feeling extra energized and or sluggish will impact on your ability to focus and remain on task. Being anxious and irritable, tired, moody, and hungry will impact on behavior and ability to learn. You don't want to hear nothing the teacher got to say, right? Can't focus on the task at hand. What about constant intake of sugar? What would that do? You know what I'm saying? Maybe we need some untouchable research to give us an objective study. Sugars and sweetness deserve a show by itself. Let's say sugar and sweetness are unhealthy. I suggest you start reading the labels on the food or purchase the food you purchase, then read about the contents of the food you consume. And, of course, read about the effects of sugar. It is everywhere, and that is not a coincidence. What about other mental health issues like anxiety? How anxiety affects concentration. Anxiety causes a stress response to the brain and body. The stress response sends a rush of hormones flowing into the body. And when stress hormones are released, our heart rate rises, breathing speeds up, our blood is diverted to limbs over the brain. In this state, our perception and intellect are clearly impaired. making it hard to concentrate on the task at hand. Anxiety, right? My Well Brain said many people with post-traumatic stress disorder have trouble concentrating or have other problems with their memory, like memory loss, right? So it's funny, I have another friend. She was telling me that she felt that a lot of children have diagnosed with this ADHD are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. So I just looked to see how would that interfere with, their ability to function in school. Memory and concentration problems are common symptoms of PTSD. Well, you can't concentrate, right? Other symptoms of the condition may also harm memory and concentration. For example, people with PTSD often experience difficulty sleeping. Poor sleep can affect a person's ability to concentrate while staying focused during the day. So that's going to create irritability, because I know when I'm sleepy, I might be a little irritable, like short, you know what I'm saying? So poor sleeping, right? Can't concentrate, and you're in school trying to stay woke. So you know how you do, know what you do when you're trying to stay woke? You do something. You can't sit there and wake up. You got to actually do something. You got to move, get up and move. You know how you get up and stand up, move around. Hey, I'm just saying. From the Calm Clinic, anxiety creating hyperactivity. Anxiety can absolutely cause hyperactivity, right? So it cannot cause ADHD or attention deficit hyperactivity, but anxiety can absolutely create a feeling of needing to move and be active, right? So one of the clear reasons is because anxiety rushes the body with adrenaline, which is the body's way of creating extra energy. That adrenaline is normally released to keep you safe from harm, right? So here we go again. From WebMD, lack of sleep impairs a person's ability to focus and learn efficiently. Sleep is necessary to consolidate a memory, make it stick. So, right, to remember something, right? So so that it can be recalled in the future, right? There are different types of memories. Some are fact-based, such as remembering the name of state capitals. If you are sleep deprived, you are at risk of developing a number of serious health problems, such as hypertension, obesity, diabetes, and your ability to learn and retain new information may be impaired. So you're about to fail in class, right? Studies show that sleep affects physical reflexes, fine motor skills, and judgment too. One study showed that participants who are sleep deprived were more likely to think they were right when they were in fact wrong. So sleep deprivation, you know, that's a form, they use it as a form of torture. So, you know, I can't assume anything really good. Now you know. If you don't believe me, do your own research. Deprivation of sleep can it's really harmful. They use it for torture. Anyway, I'm hoping these issues are ruled out before a diagnosis is considered. Seems like we have a lot of work to do as a society, though. We know a student's ability to learn can perpetuate behavior issues in schools. So you see, for instance, you don't want people to know you're not on the same level as the rest of the class. So maybe you don't go to class, or maybe you act so tough that they get to say anything to you, look at you sideways. If you don't know it, you can get a wrong answer, and the whole class clap for you. Pop, 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 pop. Oh, yeah, so, my man. So they're scared of you. So but some kids, they're not afraid of them. They just turn them into their situation into a joke. And they might be in the same boat with that person, but they turn theirs into the joke. Anyway, from S. Montgomery Counseling, racial disparities in ADHD diagnosis and treatment. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, right? We got the usual suspects here we talk. I mean, it's interesting. Estimate that the rate of ADHD diagnosed in childhood is 9.5%. White children are diagnosed at 11.5%. black children at 8.9% and Latino children at 6.3%. Researchers took a look at the numbers in 2013 and found that by the time students reached eighth grade, black children were 69% less likely and Latino children were 50% less likely to receive an ADHD diagnosis than white children. And more recent study from 2016 published in the Pediatrics found that black children show ADHD symptoms at a much higher rate than white children. So, whites make up about 57.8% of the population now, because this is the first time that they have dropped. No, this can't be the first time they dropped. Anyway, they make up 57.8. That's a drop in what I used to see, because it used to be 60-something more recently when I have been looking. Anyway, they make up 57% of the population, and white children were diagnosed at 11.5%. Black people make up 13% of the population, and they were diagnosed at 8.9%. Latinos at 6.3%. That seems disproportionately black based on the percent tested. Now, I could be wrong on that, but it doesn't seem right. Note that the white population appears to have declined for the first time. White previously made up 60% or more of the population, right? From ABC News. Did companies over-promote ADHD in Ritalin? In fact, there's a class action lawsuit against Ritalin manufacturer Novartis, N-O-V-A-R-T-I-S, the American Psychiatric Association, and the parent group Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder. They allege that the company fraudulently over-promoted the diagnosis of ADD and ADHD in conclusion with the two organizations to boost drug sales. Now remember, this is a pharmaceutical company, and they were saying that they contribute to the American Psychiatric Association, right? This is children and adults with attention deficit order. They say these three are in cahoots with each other to boost ADHD sales, right? And the diagnosis. You got to boost the diagnosis to get the sales, right? They failed to adequately warn the public of Ritalin's impact on children's cardiovascular and nervous system. So I don't know if people know about that, because that's how you make an educated decision. You can't make an intelligent, educated decision on to use medicine or to have your child use a medicine you don't know nothing about. All you're doing is listening to somebody say it's safe, and you take it, oh, it's safe. You should already assume that it's not safe, just the fact that it's a petrochemical, and it has to have some risk as you taking it. Anyway, the suit alleges that the American Psychiatric Association has expanded the definition of ADD, ADHD in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, right? The DSM-4, right? So they manipulated it, right? So that more and more children would fall into the category, right? ADHD. Drug companies encourage the diagnosis of ADD, ADHD, and its treatment with Ritalin by economically supporting both CHAD and the Psychiatric Association, right? Those two organizations, right? See the conspiracy web that they're weaving here? This is an actual class action lawsuit. In a statement written to ABCNews.com regarding these allegations, the company said it would defend itself vigorously against the suit, adding, Novartis has supported educational programs sponsored by the American Psychiatric Association and is standard industry practice, and as do most pharmaceutical companies with the therapy in the psychiatric area. So it's standard for them to support the American Psychiatric Association. The notion that the company improperly influenced the APA has no merit. Well, they admit to being in bed with them, but they say they're not influencing them. I don't know how you be in bed with somebody without influencing them. Number of cases increasing, right? Novartis rejects the notion that these unrestricted educational grants to credible third parties create improper influence upon them. Somebody getting some money. Chad declined to comment on the case, right? Statistics do show an increase in the number of cases of ADD, ADHD, and a rise in drug prescriptions. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is now the most commonly diagnosed behavioral disorder in childhood, affecting 10% of school-age children in the United States, according to a 1999 Drug Enforcement Administration report. The prescription rates for Ritalin have increased 390% in the last 5 years as of June, according to a mountain of scientific evidence to refute the charges. Novartis manufacturer, the diagnosis for ADHD, and the APA called the allegations ludicrous, right? So the diagnostic criteria for the DSM-4 was extensively tested for validity and reliability in field trials funded through a research grant from the National Institute of Mental Health. The APA said in a statement, it says it develops its diagnostic manual based on the research and input of thousands of experts from around the world, right? Okay, the psychiatrists say the proper diagnosis of ADHD takes time and careful evaluation. Dr. David Fassler, chairman of the Council on Children, Adolescents, and Their Families for the APA, emphasized it is important to ensure children the child has received a comprehensive professional evaluation, including family, school, and medical history before diagnosing, right? Children sometimes critics blame the diagnosis popularity on the pencil and paper diagnosis exam, a form that teachers and other school authorities fill out. Critics say it's too subjective and inclusive. Behaviors listed on it should be considered normal, says psychiatrist Dr. Peter R. Bragan, right? Author of Taking Back to Ritalin and Reclaiming Our Children. No, Talking Back to Ritalin and Reclaiming Our Children. Bragan is a medical consultant to the plaintiff's attorney in the law. That was the guy I was talking about earlier. Drug companies and Ritalin. It should alert any parent's attention that with virtually no understanding of the long-term effects of stimulant drugs such as Ritalin, these drugs were heavily advertised by the drug companies for the treatment of problem children. There are enormous sums of money involved in the development and marketing of prescription drugs. Leon Eisenberg, professor of psychiatry at and social medicine at Harvard Medical School, says that the sale of Ritalin and other stimulant drugs for children are driven by the convenience of the doctor, the profitability of the drug company, and the notion that there is nothing more meaningful to life than biochemistry. Behaviors of the diagnostic exam for ADD include often fail to give close attention to detail or make careless mistakes. Schoolwork often avoids dislikes or reluctant to engage in tasks that require mental effort, right? Dr. Brigman he's a neurologist, has been following ADHD for 20 years. He believes that disorders are a colossal fraud. He says there is no evidence of a physical or chemical abnormality in people diagnosed with ADHD or ADD. Well, that's interesting because I could have swore they said that they found there was some evidence. Anyway. But many disorders, including Alzheimer's, do not have objective markers that show up in the physical examination or in the blood, they say, right? The rise in the use of Ritalin as federal agencies worry, right? The DA held a conference in 1996 on stimulant use in the treatment of ADHD and ADD, right? What happened? Gene Haslett, deputy assistant of the administrator of the DEA's office, Division of Control, concluded in a report about the meeting. He warned parents to protect their children by informing themselves. Regrettably, much of the literature and promotion of the drug in recent years has ignored or understated the potency and abuse potential of the methylphenidate and Ritalin, he wrote. This appears to have misled many physicians into prescribing the drug as a quick fix for problems with school and behavior. But the parents who say Ritalin has helped their children, the proof is on the report card. Ladies, a daughter's grades went up significantly after she was put on Ritalin. Ritalin has also helped curb her aggressive behavior, right? Ritalin wasn't a cure, but it helped to take the edge off, Lee said. But Sosa, who eventually won a legal battle with his ex-wife to take their son off of Ritalin, say the issue goes beyond grades and behavior. This is almost like a violation of children's human rights, he said. It seems like Dr. Omar Johnson isn't the only one concerned about misdiagnosing children and prescribing them a dangerous drug to control their behavior. I think Pfizer makes Ritalin and Johnson & Johnson makes Concerta. So, it's a lady by the name of Donna Ford, a professor of education and human development at Vanderbilt. Ford looks at the trend of ADHD diagnosis and worries about black children being increasingly misdiagnosed. That supports what Mr. Johnson is saying, Dr. Omar Johnson. Boys tend to be more active than girls, and African Americans are known for being movement-oriented, tactile, and kinetic. This is considered normal and healthy in the African American community, but not necessarily so in schools. Of course, a small number of students from all cultural and racial gender groups do have ADHD needs. She said, however, she's convinced that the pervasiveness of this label is a product of prejudice and discrimination. I'm sure we are very familiar with those terms, and very familiar with those terms in this country, right? Intentionally by some and unintentionally by others. So she thinks that, convinced that the pervasiveness, that all of this, that the abundance of labeling, right, increase of labeling of black kids, it's a product of prejudice and discrimination. So either way, too many black males are being inaccurately labeled as having ADHD. On the other end, there's someone like Keith B. Wilson, a professor at Southern Illinois University. He looks at the trend and has a worry that's quite opposite of Ford's. Black children are being underdiagnosed. So you got to be saying black kids, not enough of them being diagnosed. It is important to acknowledge that discrimination can be conscious, intentional or unconscious, unintentional on the part of educational and healthcare workers, but the effects are still harmful to both children and their parents and guardians. Without appropriate diagnosis, many black and Latino children miss out on badly needed opportunities to succeed, right? From the root. The academic present pressure cooker is turning ADHD meds into performance-enhancing drugs in the classroom. Some doctors admit to prescribing Adderall and other ADHD drugs to low-income kids, not because they have a disorder, but just to help them do better in school. from the Children's Commission on Human Rights in Florida, children on Ritalin long-term effects, right? So they said they calling Bragan a psychiatrist and whistleblower, right? Because let me say this, colleagues could be stepping up to the plate and kind of addressing this situation. He reports that these possible tragic outcomes for the victim of long-term Ritalin use, early death, brain atrophy, brain shrinking, of short lifespan, suicide, imprisonment, drug addiction, institutionalization in a psychiatric hospital from the use of Ritalin. This is Peter Bragan. He's saying these things, these are outcomes for the victim of long-term Ritalin use, early death, brain shrinkage, right? Suicide, imprisonment, drug addiction, institutionalization in a psychiatric hospital. Wow. Now, how's this guy, the question is, how is this guy coming to the conclusion? And how are these few people coming to this conclusion? And why is this drug of being prescribed more? Now, why? That doesn't make sense to me. It reminds me of another thing we got going on in this country, when something is questionable about how safe it is, but it's still being prescribed, even forced on people. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, he said, instead of winning the child from the damaging pharmaceutical, their faulty science leads them to believe that the drug has somehow uncovered additional mental disorders. So he's saying, unfortunately, they are unable to observe the obvious, that the drug he has given the child is causing these effects. So, but they're unable to see, I don't know about that, but they're not connecting what the drug is doing to the child, right? What follows is a cocktail of drugs to fix these supposed unmasked set of problems. So I guess I give you the drug, give you the Ritalin that caused these other problems. Now you take these other drugs, now you're going to have problems from the Ritalin and the other drugs you're taking. That's what he's basically saying, right? He's talking about OCD. Obsessive compulsive disorder can be one result of psychiatric drugging. A child becomes less social and his spontaneous behavior may be stifled. Well, so he's withdrawn. He's like, He said, initial diagnosis of ADHD ruins the child's sense of personal responsibility and self-control so that the child no longer thinks he can control himself. This almost inevitably disrupts emotional growth and renders the child less able to grow up into a mature adult. Ritalin has the potential for causing long-lasting changes in the brain cell structure and function. Cause of other studies show that long-term Ritalin side effects can cause the onset of depression as well as possible brain injury to the frontal lobe. That's what you think, right? That's what all you're thinking is done in your frontal lobe, right? Rational thought, right? Ritalin-induced brain damage is similar to a frontal lobe syndrome normally caused by head trauma. Frontal lobe syndrome can cause a person much difficulty in inhibiting inappropriate behavior. Because youngsters' brains are still developing, they are much more susceptible to Ritalin negative effects. As of 2014, 3 million U.S. children have been prescribed ADHD drugs. This equates to 2,000% increase since the mid-1980s. Due to peer pressure, the abuse was spread beyond the children who have been diagnosed as having hyperactivity. Due to peer pressure, that's not supposed to be a medical situation. It is common knowledge that Ritalin is now a popular street drug. Oh, okay, that must be the peer pressure. Experimental on mice, Ritalin could cause physical damage to the nervous and nervous and reward regions of the mouse brain. In some cases, these effects overlap with those of cocaine and white girl, all right? So there's a relationship, a functional relationship between Ritalin and cocaine. And I think Umar had mentioned that it's one molecule different than cocaine, Ritalin. And I looked that up, and it seems that way. It appears that Mr. Dr. Umar Johnson is correct in terms of looking up yourself of the molecule of molecular structure of Ritalin is one molecule away from that molecular structure of cocaine. And I'm running out of time. I'm not going to really get to all of this shit. So they said they have no biological or genetic basis for these illnesses, and the National Institutes of Mental Health are totally committed to the pharmacological line. There is a great deal of scientific evidence that stimulants cause brain damage with long-term use. Yet there is no evidence that these mental illnesses such as ADHD exist. So, and I'm running out of time. Y'all, please do your own research, because I found this to be a very, very interesting in terms of, because I never thought Ritalin was good myself, because I know all medication can be harmful. But this is, I don't know, this is another one of those situations where seems it's being driven by the gods of this world, in this case, this nation, and profit. You know, nobody cares about the harm it's going to cause. Take it, you know, promote it, perpetuate it, and they say it's good. If they say it's good, use it. You know, so that's not a good look, if you ask me. This thing is the molecular structure. I don't know if this would make a difference to anybody. Ritalin molecular structure, C14, H19, NO2. Cocaine is C17, H21, NO4. Shoot, that's the same, ain't it? That right? C14H19NO2, crack cocaine. No, that's Ritalin, NO2. And crack cocaine is, whoa, that's different. Wow. Well, that's how close they are, y'all. Ritalin is, that sound like the same to me. C14H20C1NO2. That's Ritalin. C17H21NO4. So I guess those are two different ones. Anyway, I'm running out of time, y'all. And just look, do your own research. Ritalin is, they say, Slate says Ritalin is chemically similar to cocaine. And with that being said, I'm going to have to, in our show, I want to thank you, everybody, for listening. Free Talk Productions. Kenneth Jones, all my listeners, callers in.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay, There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.